tonight. Everybody that's got your Bibles, let's go there together. St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15. I just kept coming back to this all afternoon, even as I was really trying to look at something else. But I'm just going to obey the Lord tonight. Matthew chapter 15, before you stand and while you're turning, let me just take one more opportunity and say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you to the church at Broadway Assembly. It's been our honor to get to be here, and we have just enjoyed everything. My family and I, thank you so much for your giving and the offering. That's not the main thing, but it is a blessing for you to help us and support us this week. So God bless you for your giving and your sowing into the ministry. And we want to thank Pastor Jones and his family and just everyone. This is a great church, and you got a great pastor. You ever notice those two go together? There's not a lot of great pastors that hang around bad churches very long. And there's not a lot of bad churches that are blessed with great pastors. It's a two-way street. And this church is blessed, a great church with a great pastor. So we are just thankful for everything that the Lord is doing. And I want God to help us tonight. And I want to say one more thing. Brother Jones was mentioning Sister Pasquarella, my wife, and she has been blessed by this church down through the years. My wife, I'll say this quickly, she grew up in Columbus, Ohio. And I want to be careful. Her family are great individuals, and they're Christians now, but when she was a young lady, nobody in her family was saved. Nobody that we know of were Christians, but through the bus ministry and the Sunday school and the Christian church outreach, she got saved, and she come up here, were you 9 years old, to Camp Blessing, and that was her first youth camp, and then she missed a couple years, I don't know what happened, and then she come back 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, and a lot of blessings were received from the Lord at youth camp. So thank you. She didn't know she was going to be a preacher's wife back then, and I didn't know she was going to be my wife, but thank you for sowing into her life. Amen. How many want God to speak to us tonight? One more night. Matthew 15, let's stand together. Everybody that will, St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 15. If you got it, say amen. Let's begin reading in verse 21. Matthew 15 and verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And I want you to grab hold of this phrase tonight. I love this. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, I'd love him to say this to us tonight. Great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Hallelujah. How many believe God could do something this very hour, tonight? I'm not talking about next revival, next month, before that hand on the clock goes around 1 hour. How many believe somebody can get the miracle that they need from the Lord? Hallelujah. You can be seated tonight. Thank you so much for standing for the reading of the scripture. I want to draw our attention back to verse 25. Verse 25. And let me just set this up and remind us, when this woman first came to Jesus, everything in her life was going wrong. You ever been there? Ever felt like that? Everything in her life was going from bad to worse. I mean, add it up. Her daughter is vexed by a devil. That's bad. Amen. When she gets to Jesus, he answers her not a word. That's worse. Amen. The disciples said, send her away. We don't want to deal with her. We don't want her in our youth group. That's even worse, wouldn't you agree? And then finally, when Jesus did speak to her, he called her a dog, an outcast. Man, we'd have been done, wouldn't we? I'm leaving. That's worst of all. That's our worst nightmare. But I want you to notice what this woman did in a moment like that. Verse 25 said, then came she and worshiped him. Amen. She threw some worship in the middle of her situation. I want to preach about that tonight. And I better explain this title so you'll understand where I'm going tonight. If you'll go home and you'll get a dictionary out and turn over to the W, letter W, there's only one word in the dictionary between worse and worst. Amen? W-O-R-S-E, worse, and then put a T, W-O-R-S-T, worst. There's only one word in between those. And how many know what that word is? It's worship. Amen. That's the only thing standing in the way from things going from worse to worse. Worshiping until we get a hold of God. I want to preach tonight on the word between worse and worst. Amen. The word between worse and worse. Lift your hands this way. Let's pray one more time. Heavenly Father, thank you for this revival, Lord. I pray you'll put the exclamation point on it tonight, on the last night. And God, I thank you for how you've helped me this week with this bronchitis. Just touch us one more time, God. And I pray for the church and the preacher. Let us get in the spirit together tonight and worship you for who you are. And we'll thank you. I believe you'll do miracles while we worship, Lord. I believe you'll send revival down while we worship. In Jesus' name, everybody that believes it said, amen and amen. The word between worse and worst. Hallelujah. I read an amazing story once, and I think it's appropriate tonight for what I want to preach about. It was about that man by the name of George Whitefield. How many remember him in church history? George Whitefield, the mighty preacher. He lived in the 1700s, and God used him in the Great Awakening in England. But one night, Whitefield was coming home from a revival meeting just like this. It was dark, and he was on horseback. He was riding through a wooded area, and all of a sudden, a bandit jumped out. And this guy had a knife in hand. And very quickly, Pastor, he robbed that evangelist, robbed George Whitefield, took all his money. And I'm talking about going from bad to worse. He even stole the horse that he was riding on. Amen. And he got on that horse and he took off. But he got to the top of the hill and something odd happened. He turned around and Whitefield thought, well, he's under conviction. He's coming back. He's going to restore it all. Amen. But he came back and it got even worse. He went up to that preacher and he said, I forgot something. He said, give me your coat too. I want that coat. And Whitefield is a dead a winner. He had to take off that nice new coat and hand it over and they made an exchange. That beggar threw his old shabby worn out coat. And this time he turned around and took off and never looked back. Amen. How many know that's what the devil wants to do to the church in this hour? Can I tell you, the devil is the thief. He's not a thief. The Bible called him the main culprit. And the devil's coming in this last day. He's trying to rob revival. He's trying to rob our joy, our peace, our victory. How many can say tonight, I'm not going to sit back and let him do it. I'm going to fight back by the power of God. Hey man, here's one way we fight back: with praise and worship. How many know that? Hey man, but things look bad for George Whitefield. He wrote about it later in his memoirs. You can read it. He said, I was depressed. Brother Cruz, he said, there I was walking through the snow, didn't have a horse. He said, anybody ever had a pity party? Let's be honest. He said, I was complaining, why me? I've been preaching the gospel. Why did you let this happen, God? And all of a sudden, Whitfield got convicted, and he remembered what he had just preached on that night earlier. He had preached on blessing the Lord at all times. And Whitfield thought, man, I better practice what I've been preaching. And right there in the middle of that, he lifted his hands and began to worship God. And he said, I noticed something. I didn't see it earlier, but when he lifted his hands, inside that coat pocket was all his money. Amen. When they had switched coats, that bandit had forgot to take the money out, and Whitfield got back everything that the enemy had stolen from him. And he said this, and I want to preach about it. I think it's a powerful principle. He said, I learned a lesson. If I had never lifted my hands in the trial, I'd have never found the blessing. I'd have thrown that coat away. Amen. But when I lifted my hands, hallelujah. How many know that's still the way it works tonight? We got two options. Amen. We can sit back defeated and discouraged by the devil, or somebody can come out with their hands up. And I'm not talking about surrendering to the enemy. I'm talking about walking right out of that valley, lifting our hands and praising the Lord. How many believe when we start worshiping, God starts working? Come on now. I said when we start worshiping, God starts working on our behalf. Amen. Why don't we give him a good praise right now? Come on, let's lift up holy hands on this last night of revival. Let's give God worship. We worship him because of who he is, not because of where I am, not because of what is going on around me. We worship God because of who he is. Amen. I feel a burden to preach to us tonight. We can sit back, and I've been guilty of it. Amen. We can sit back and watch things get worse and worse. And if the devil has his way, it's going to be the worst that we have ever imagined it. Or we can get up tonight and worship God. There is a word between worse and worst, and it's worship. Amen. I want to look at this text for a little while tonight. Matthew 15. Matthew 15, here we meet a woman who knew how to worship. Amen. And I'd love to learn that lesson. She didn't need a praise team. I didn't read that in the Bible. She didn't need a worship leader. Thank God. Amen for the song leaders. But this woman just had it in her heart, and it flowed out. Amen. And I think it's noteworthy tonight. No name is pinned on this woman in the Bible. Did you catch that? She's a nobody, if you will. She's a no name. We'd say nobody important. Matthew called her a woman of Canaan. Mark in his gospel labeled her a Syrophoenician woman. And you understand tonight, there's no discrepancy there. I read one time where critics have used that and verses like that, and they say, well, the Bible contradicts itself, but that's not true at all. It's kind of like saying, I live in Ohio or I live in America. It's the same thing, just broke down in a different region. You understand tonight. But here's what we must grab a hold of. Not that she was a woman of Canaan or she was a Syrophoenician woman. She was a Gentile. Amen. She was not a Jew. She was an outcast. She was a dog, Jesus said. How many's getting the picture? Everything was against her. Amen. In fact, if we're honest tonight, the Bible tells us she was a mixed race, half Syrian, half Phoenician, Syrophoenician. And you study it out. I got to studying this recently in Josephus, the Jewish historian. He said that the Syrophoenicians were the worst of the worst, Brother Chris. They were the heathen of the heathens. I mean, the most wicked. And in fact, I thought it's kind of humorous, to be honest with you. They say that in Bible days, if you wanted to compliment somebody and you couldn't think of anything good to say about them, that's a bad situation to be again, isn't it? When you want to compliment somebody and you can't find a good trait anywhere, here's what you would say: at least they're not a Syrophoenician. Amen. Wow, he might be a murderer. That lady over there might be a thief and a cheat and a liar, but at least she's not a Syrophoenician. How many's getting the picture tonight? This was a bad woman. She's from the wrong side of the tracks. She's not living under the canopy of God's covenant. She's not living under the pavilion of God's promises. She was distanced and disadvantaged, and it looked like disqualified from getting a blessing. But I'll tell you what I love about her. She came to Jesus by faith anyway. Amen. And how many know that's what we got to do in the house of God tonight? If we let the devil will set up every roadblock. He'll give us every reason why we can't have a miracle or a move of God. How many's ever had him tell you that? You're too tired on Sunday night. Well, you've been in revival all week. You're sick. You don't feel good. You're unworthy. You didn't pray enough today. I want to tell you what we got to do tonight. We got to hurdle all those hindrances and say, I'm going by faith. I'm going to that altar by faith anyway. How many believe if we can get in his presence, he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him? Anybody believe that's still true tonight? How many came to get in the presence of the Lord? I mean, where the glory is. Amen. How do you get there, Brother Pascarella? I'm glad you ask. Amen. I think we all know, but I want to remind us. How many know there's a key that gets in that opens up that gate to the glory? There is a shortcut, if you will, that gets us quickly into that presence of the Lord. I was reading the other day. I read about Ann Preston. I'd never heard of her. Ann Preston. She lived in Ireland in the 1800s. She was a young girl and they nicknamed her Holy Ann. Amen. Holy Ann. That wasn't a compliment. They were making fun of her. She was so religious and spiritual, and they called her Holy Ann. She prayed all the time. She was simple-minded and uneducated. Amen. But God heard her prayer. She wasn't educated, but she was dedicated, if you will. And one day, as a 15-year-old, her mom and dad said, "You're not going to church anymore. Amen. We're not going to take you, and it's too far to walk. And if nobody picks you up, you're never going to church." Amen. How many know we can get in his presence if we want to? It doesn't matter where you're at. And Ann Preston began to pray, and you believe it if you want to. Amen. History says that two wild horses came out of nowhere down the lane, and they stopped in her front yard. And later on, they looked all over the neighborhood. Nobody had ever seen them. Nobody knew where they came from, Brother Smith. But Holy Ann Preston climbed on one of those horses, and it tamed down, and she rode it to the house of God, and she kept those horses the rest of her until she was an adult. And here's what I love. You know what she named those horses? Thanksgiving and Praise. Amen. And they asked her, "Why? Why do you call them that?" And she quoted Psalm 100 and verse 4. "I found out I could enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and if that one won't get me there, I could get into his courts with praise." How many believe that still works this morning, this evening rather? I don't have two wild horses, but I tell you what I do have. God gave me two hands, amen, and I can lift up thanksgiving, I can lift up praise, and before we know it, we're in the courts of the Lord. Amen. When I get in that court, Brother Jones, I can make my petition. I can tell him I need healed. I need the Holy Ghost. But until I get in his courts, I got to worship him. That's what gets us to the gate. How many's glad there's a word between worse and worse tonight? Amen. How many came to worship God in this house for who he is? Hallelujah. I want to give you a few truths from the text tonight. And we're going to make an altar of worship in a few minutes. Notice with me the problem that was presented. The problem that was presented. How many's found out sometimes we got to hand over what we can't handle? This woman had a problem she couldn't handle right in her house. Amen. She couldn't handle this situation. And some of us come to church tonight. I'll be honest, we got some situations, every one of us, if we're honest, problems that we can't handle. And I've said this a lot, and I'll say it again, there's only one problem God can't handle, and that's the one we don't give Him. Amen? When I won't release it, and I'm going to fix it myself, that's the only problem God can't handle. But how many has found out if we hand it over, He can handle anything and everything. Amen? Listen again to Matthew 15 and 22. Christ come passing by, and the Bible said this, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto Him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Do you see that? There's the problem that was presented. And I want to come back to that. I'm not going to preach super long tonight, but I want to come back to that problem. But before we deal with that problem of that demon-possessed child, there's a phrase there that stirred my heart. Did you catch what the Bible said? She came out of the coast. Amen. I love that. She came out of the same coast. I think we overlook the effort and the desire that this woman made. It's so easy to read that. You be Jesus, Brother Jones, and I'll represent this woman. We just kind of read it like she walked over to Him casually, and it was so easy to get there. But you look on a Bible map from where that woman was to where Jesus was, it was about a 50-mile journey by foot. Amen. It didn't say she came on a camel or she came on a wagon, and she had to go over mountains and hills and valleys, and it looked like on my Bible map across the river, but desire was driving her. I've got to get to Jesus. Amen. And I'm going to use a little play on the words right here, but maybe not. I really don't think it was. She came out of the coast. Amen. That lady had been coasting too long. She had been living down there. I don't know, but you look on the Bible map on the right by the sea. Maybe she had been like one of those beach goers, kicked back, suntanning. Amen. Taking it easy. Kind of like we do when we come to church sometimes. Amen. Just get on. But something stirred in her heart. Singer, watch the preacher. But something stirred in her heart. I need a miracle. I can't coast anymore. I got to come out of the coast and get to Christ. And how many believe with me tonight? The last day church has to come out of the coast. Amen. Come on now. The American church has been coasting too long. Somebody said we come at 7 o'clock sharp and we leave at 9 o'clock dull. Nobody gets healed. Nobody gets the Holy Ghost. Nobody gets delivered. How many believe God has a better plan for Pentecost? But we got to come. How many want to come out of the coast and say, I got to get to where Jesus is tonight? Sometimes it takes me doing something I've never done. Well, I never worship, preacher. I never come to the altar. I'm not saying you got to, but sometimes you got to come out of the coast. Amen. And say, I'm going to try something different. If I don't try something different, I might not get anything different. Amen. But notice this woman's problem that was presented. What was her problem? The devil was vexing her daughter. Amen. The devil was vexing her daughter. Did you hear that mother's cry in verse 22? My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Boy, it makes a difference when it's ours, doesn't it? I listen to all these prayer requests, and I pray for them, and I try to get a burden for them and get under the load, but when it's my problem, my children, let's be honest tonight, my sickness, amen? I'm a King James Version only guy, but Pastor Jones, I look this up. when I was studying in a different translation, and one modern Bible version translated it this way: her daughter had special needs. Her daughter was handicapped. No. I don't like that version. Amen. That's not what the Bible said. It didn't say she had a handicap or special needs. She was vexed by the devil. Amen. A lot of times we're blaming things on other things, and it's really just the enemy that is attacking. That word vexed means badly possessed, demonized, amen, bound. And I'm not going to dwell on this, but I want to bump it before we move on. Amen. You know, how many believe we're living in a world that is vexed by the devil? We're living in a demonic generation. And I think it just makes sense. If the world is possessed by the devil, we need a church that is full of the Holy Ghost and power. If the devil's out there, how many believe we need the Holy Ghost in here like never before in our lives? I remember hearing the old Church of God preacher, John Nichols. Maybe some of you heard him. I got to go hear him as a boy. Him and Ray H. Hughes was in our town. Amen. And some of those old time Fireball Church of God preachers, they're in heaven now. But John Nichols told this story. I heard him tell it in person many years ago. I don't remember the city he was in, but I'll tell it as best I recollect. John Nichols said one night, when he was a young preacher, he was in a revival. I think it was out west, brother. And he said they brought a young lady to the altar, a little frail teenage girl one night. She was full of the devil, demon-possessed. How many know that is real, huh? I'm not here to glorify the devil, but it is real. I'm glad there's a greater power. Amen. There's a greater power and the power of the enemy. And they got that little girl to the altar, and that demon manifested, and that little girl turned around. I mean, this is shocking. Amen. But he's told it. I heard him tell it. He said she turned around and began to mock the church. And she said, "Nobody here has power to cast me out." The devil talking. "Nobody here has authority over me." And he made a strange statement that I've thought about a lot. He said, "I've made myself strong on the disobedience of God's people in this church. And no one has the authority to cast me out." And that went on one night, two night, three night, four night. And finally, what do? They just shut the revival down. How many believe the devil's been shutting too many revivals down in America? And finally, John Nichols, he went away to the mountains out west. And he began to fast and pray. I forget, 3-4 days. And God said, "Go back." And they started it again. And they brought that little girl down to the same altar. And the demon manifested, same thing. Began to mock and berate the church. But something was different this time. Amen, brother. Brother Reuben, the back door swung open. Again, you believe it if you want. I heard his testimony. He said the back door of that little chapel swung open and a wind began to blow, and he said it was so tangible everybody turned in the house except for that demon possessed girl, but there was nobody in the door, no physical presence, just a power and a wind. And that little girl, never looking back, cried out. The demon cried out and said, "Oh no, not him. I didn't know he was going to show up at church tonight." And that girl got delivered just like that. How many believe that's what we need in the house of God? We need him to come in. I'd like to feel that wind blow. I'd like to feel that tangible presence. How many's ever felt him step in the room? And everything changed. Jesus is the answer. How many say amen tonight? Amen. The devil was vexing her daughter. The disciples were voicing their displeasure. I'm about to wind it down, but do you see the problem that was presented? Amen. The devil's vexing her daughter. The disciples are voicing their displeasure. Get her away. We're trying to have church as usual here, and she's disrupting the service. We don't want to deal with the hard cases. We don't want to deal with this, amen, girl. We just want to go on having church and ignore this need, the problem that was presented. But listen to this, the plea that was persistent. Amen. Amen. If there is a problem, amen, how many believe it's time to make a plea to God? And somewhere along the line, I don't know when it happened, she had a 50-mile journey, but somewhere along the line, that pagan mother became a praying mother. Amen. I don't know if it happened back in the coast or on mile marker 20, but somewhere along the line, faith rose up in her heart. I'd like some faith to rise up in my heart and yours tonight. How many believe we can pray and God can hear and move? Amen. Listen to this. Amen. As I wind it down, verse 22, what a picture of a persistent prayer warrior. Verse 22, she cried unto Jesus, have mercy on me. Amen. She called him Lord. She recognized him as the Messiah, thou son of David. Amen. She traced his lineage. She knew who he was. Verse 25, she said, she got desperate and humble. Lord, help me. Amen. Boy, that's a picture of real prayer, isn't it? Lord, help me. Amen. What a prayer, crying out. Amen. Have mercy. Help me. Lord, son of David. But here's where I want to preach for just another moment, because I think this is where you and I struggle. He answered her not a word. Amen. Isn't that the hardest point? Isn't that where we lose faith and victory sometimes? Preacher, you don't understand. I went to church. I was faithful. I prayed, I tried, and no answer came. I want to ask somebody tonight, what are we going to do in moments like that? Are we going to turn around and go home? Or are we going to say, I love what this woman did. She realized I got one more option. Amen. I'm going to go home empty. I'm going to go back to that devil-possessed house with no answer. The devil's going to be winning. But I got one more thing in my bag of arsenal. I can fall down and worship him. Hallelujah. How many has found out when you feel like your prayer's not getting past the ceiling? There's been some times I just reach down and put it in another gear. And instead of saying, give me, I need, I want, I just started saying, holy is the Lord. Worthy is the Lamb of God that taketh away. How many know God is drawn to worship tonight? Amen. Hey man, that woman got ignored. She got insulted. He called her a dog. Wow. Hey man, I put myself, I'm part of the modern church. We'd have been offended. Amen. We'd have said, I'm done. I'm going to a new church. Amen. Forget this Jesus guy. But you know what I love about that woman? Did you hear her answer? She got real. She said, truth, Lord. I am a dog. Amen. You got it. I'm a Gentile. But I love this statement. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall. I mean, no, we don't need a big blessing. Hey, man, you can give the Jews the whole loaf. That's what she's saying. All I need is a crumb. How many believe a little touch of God is enough? A little visitation. A little 5-minute meeting with the Lord. Hey, man, when it passes by. Hallelujah. Anybody ever been around a little dog? You ever went out on the deck? I got a dog at home. You ever been on a picnic? Hey, man, grilling, and you got your hot dog, and you're eating your hot dog. You know what our little dog does? He gets at her feet. Amen. Hey, man, you know, he's got his mouth open. He's just waiting on a crumb. Hey, man, if I drop anything his way, he's in the right place. You know what that woman found out? Here's a truth I want to leave you with. She realized this. You can't catch a crumb with your mouth closed. Amen. You got to get your mouth open. If you can't catch a crumb, and I'll tell you how God dealt with me. The reason we haven't been seeing more healings and more miracles, and we've not been catching more of the move of God, we haven't had our mouth open. You can't catch a crumb with your mouth closed, but how many believe if we get in the right place, if I get at his feet and I get my mouth open, hallelujah, hosanna, how many believe the blessing of God is going to fall right where we are. Amen. Let's stand tonight. Can we lift our hands high and somebody just give God a praise from your heart right now? Somebody give God a hallelujah. It's not hard to say a hallelujah. Holy, worthy is the Lord. When nothing else is working, I'm going to throw some worship out there. When nothing else seems to be working, God, I'm going to throw some worship in the middle of things. You don't understand, preacher? I prayed. I fasted. I can't get God's attention. I'm telling you, throw some worship out. Amen. And see if God doesn't notice that word between worse and worst. Did you notice what verse 23 said? But he answered her not a word. Verse 28, then Jesus answered. Wow. That's a hard few verses to live through, isn't it? Verse 23, but he answered her not a word. Verse 28, then Jesus answered. What turned it around? What's right in the middle of those verses? Verse 25, she came and fell down and worshiped him. Amen. There's something about worship. You know what a truth I've learned? When God seems silent and the heavens seem brass, a lot of times when I open my mouth, God opens his mouth. Amen. When I open my mouth in worship, when everything seems to be going wrong, didn't Job find that out? Everything's going wrong. Lost it all, but he fell down and worshiped. Amen. Naked came I out of my mother's womb. Remember what his wife said, curse God and die. I believe Job realized, if I can curse God and die, then the opposite must be true. I can bless God and live. Amen. I got two choices. I don't have to curse God and die. If that's true, then I can. How many want to bless him and live? Amen. Bless him and live. The problem that was presented, the plea, and it turned into praise that was persistent, and then the power that was provided. Here's how it ended. I want to see this revival close this way. Verse 28, then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, can I just put us there, O Broadway Assembly, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, amen, even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole that very hour. How many believe God can do something tonight? God can do something in this hour that we're living in, but he's waiting on worshipers, amen? He's waiting on somebody that'll say, I'm not going home empty. I'm going to throw some worship in the middle of things. Who'd step out while they're singing tonight? It's been a joy to preach to you this week. Who'd step out right now and say, God, I'm going to come down and lift up holy hands. I'm going to come down and give a hallelujah. I'm in the middle of my trial. It's worse on the left and it's worst on the right. But there's a word between worse and worst. And I'm going to throw that word in the middle. It's the only thing standing in the way. If I can worship a God that can come down and rearrange everything in my life and make it well.
This is no ordinary
hallelujah
worship.
Hallelujah.
Oh, this is no ordinary song. The God I serve is greater than the ordinary.
I prayed, but before I go home, I'm going to worship. I'm not asking you for anything.
Oh,
I'm just worshiping you for who you are.
Worship.
You're the King. You're the Lord. You're the healer. You're the
this
mighty one.
This is no ordinary
hallelujah
song. The God I serve is greater than
I'm gonna get on
the ordinary.
And I'm going to get on praise.
Oh,
and I'm coming into the
give
gates
him all I have
of glory
in
the courts of the
moment.
Lord. Hallelujah.
This is no ordinary worship. Oh, this is no ordinary song. The God I serve is greater than the ordinary. I'm gonna give him all I have in this moment. Oh, this is no ordinary worship. Oh,